Welcome to today's episode of Falling to Freedom, where addiction ends and faith begins, the weekly podcast that brings thoughtful, informed, and challenging discussions about addiction to the forefront of everyone's minds. We join our host now, Chad Lacombe, for today's topic.
Today we are here doing our podcast on site at the Press Espresso in Murrieta. So I'm a coffee lover. I love coffee, and I love the Press's coffee. And they have five different boutique coffee shops here in Southwest Riverside County, all in this valley. And so Deshaun Wooten here, my guest, is the owner of the coffee shops. Him and his wife has an interesting background that we'll bring out, but the coffee shops are very successful. You guys were like the trendsetters here in the valley before any other boutique coffee shops. There's lots of them now, but you guys were at the forefront of it, really hit it at the beginning of that wave, which was really good. And you guys have great coffee, great environment. I mean, I love the decor. It seems like it's a blend between cigar lounge and vintage, right? It just has a really cool feel that is enjoyable, drinking a coffee and hanging out in these nice plush leather chairs.
Yes.
But what is even more amazing is not just the success that you've had with your coffee shops, but the past that you came from and now have that success. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today. Is the, you know, a lot of times people think that, you know, to have something like this and to be successful in business, you have to be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, or you have to have, you know, all of these degrees and education, or, you know, you can't have any kind of a past that is any is shady in any way. And that's just not the case.
Not at all.
No. And, you know, I am a firm believer that you don't have to let your past dictate your future. And that's why we're here today. And so I'm grateful that you're willing to sit down with us and not only share, but be willing to be open and honest about, you know, your past as well. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Deshaun.
Hey,
and if you want to just share a little bit about your story, we'd be grateful.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
No doubt. Going back, you know, back into 1995, I'll say.
Okay.
94, 93. You know, I had a little rough patch just growing up, just getting lost into whether it's the music that I listened to, or
where did you grow up?
So partly Fallbrook, that's San Diego County.
Okay, Fallbrook.
Okay, born and raised in Louisiana. So I moved out here in '87.
Louisiana,
Southern boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Still had a good little Southern hospitality. You know, I still said yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, and all that.
I've noticed that. You're very polite.
So I still have that, but within that, came to California, and just got lost within it. Didn't have a dad. You know, just me, my mom, my sister, and so within that, you know, I didn't really have anyone to guide me, you know, so I just kind of got lost into it. And long story short, you know, maybe got into a little bit of trouble here and there. But
this
then,
is in Louisiana?
No, this is actually out here in California.
Okay, how old were you when you came to California?
So I want to say I was 13.
That's a critical age for a young man.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
If you were to see me. If anyone, they probably can't see me stand up here, but I'm 6'6". So, of course.
6'6", so you're short.
Of course, basketball was at the forefront.
Yeah.
Play ball. But, you know, I do okay out there. I like to say I'm more artistic at what I do now, and I've always loved to shoot photography.
Okay.
But going back to that, just growing up and in school, went to a, outside of high school, for those who are troublemakers, what are they sending?
Independent study?
There you go. That's exactly what it was. Okay. So I started there. I was trying to get myself together there. I had a really awesome teacher. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, once I graduated, I just didn't have a focus, a vision at all. And so just got caught back up into just doing the dumb stuff, that I look at now that was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And tried to change, got into a little bit of trouble, maybe a little bit of county time, got out, thought I was good and changed, but no, I wasn't.
Okay, a little bit of county time. What's that mean?
A little bit of county time is like a little bit of where you go to county jail for maybe 6 months of something like that for a little small misdemeanor crime.
Okay.
And so
petty theft,
a little
something
petty
like
theft,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Petty theft. And so once
now, who are you hanging around this time? Like at this, you come out here when you're 13. You're starting to get involved with some probably people that maybe you shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. What does that group of friends look like?
Group of friends look like it was gang life, and so that was especially the music that I listened to. So I thought that's what I needed. I thought that's what I would make me happy.
And what were you listening to? Gangster rap?
Oh yeah, it was at the time it was N.W.A. and anyone else down along that line of music, and it just.
It promotes that lifestyle,
100%,
right? 100%. Promotes that lifestyle, kind of glorifies it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So flowing into that, and then that was just what I was feeling my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you in the gang?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, and so essentially, I had a little bit more time, just as far as in the county. Other misdemeanor crimes, and then I finally got out, and I thought I was good, you know, and I tried to stay away from those mm-hmm. who were, what, at times, influenced, where I would get that influence from, and so got into school, thought everything was great, and...
When you say got into school, this was after high school?
Yeah, so college, I'll say college.
Okay.
So college.
So you went to college.
Went to college for visual merchandising. Okay. Thought I was going to be a designer.
Like a junior college?
Yeah,
or
Palomar College in San Marcos.
Palomar College.
Yeah. And so went through college and then didn't finish it because I got caught back up in it again. And so when I say caught back up in it, I went out and something dumb one night and committed a robbery.
Okay.
And that's what pretty much landed me into prison for 7.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. So let me get this straight. Grew up in Louisiana, mm-hmm. 13 years old. You mm-hmm. come out to Southern California, Fallbrook, mm-hmm. kind of get mixed up with the wrong people. By the time you're in high school, you're in a gang.
Yep.
Go to jail a couple times mm-hmm. because of that. I'm assuming there was... drinking, drugs, things like that involved. I mean, that seems to go hand in hand with the gang lifestyle.
100%.
Okay. You graduate high school, you go to college to try and maybe break away from that lifestyle. This is pretty typical. Mm-hmm. Got to get away, try and change my circumstances, my environment. And that only lasts for a short period of time. And then you go right back to the gangs. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty accurate. And then I at that time, you know, even though I was staying away from those that I would, you know, typically hang around with, but it was me. It was still inside. And so I ran into another group of folks. They were still up to no good as well. And so...
Gang members also?
Yeah, they weren't gang members, but they pretty much still lifestyle. We drink. We smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Did drugs, all that, all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, just a kind of off topic, but on topic, what do you think the attraction to the gang life is? You know, I have my opinions, but what do you think the pull is for young men to get into that lifestyle, to look up to that lifestyle and to want to be a part of that lifestyle? I mean, maybe you can only speak from your personal experience.
Yeah, probably me, my own personal. It was the recognition. It was, you know, especially the girls at the time, mm-hmm. you know, they was attracted to that, you know.
The bad boy?
Yep, the bad
so
boy.
So the party scene is kind of attractive, you know?
100%.
I think also, I mean, it just seems like People need community. People need relationships and want to belong. And when that is missing in a young person's life, and gangs or any other group can offer that, it's very attractive.
Right.
To want to feel a part of something and, you know, feel connected and be patted on the back for doing things, even if they're bad things sometimes.
Right, 100%.
So what did you end up going to prison for?
So it's for an armed robbery. Previous to that, I had did a robbery, and this time, at that time, it was with a knife. Mm-hmm. You know, we got away with it, and this next time around, we had weapons, or I had a weapon. And
so you're with other people.
Other people, and it wasn't nothing. It was just something we were going somewhere, and on my way back, I had that weapon on me, and it's like a light bulb went off in my head. I'll get some money, easy money, and so made that decision.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then got arrested.
Yes.
Shortly after, long time after.
It was
how long?
The, you know, the individual that was with us that night. I thank God that he told on us. At the time, I didn't agree with that. Of course not. But you know, this was a somewhat married man that had a family. But when I met him, this actually was my first time meeting him that night. He didn't seem to be like your typical straight and narrow guy. So when I made my decision, you know, maybe I should have not have done it. But anyway, he was with us that night. And when he got home late, his wife asked, you know, where were you? Of course. And he was shook up because he was caught up into something that he didn't even know about. And so from that point on, I can imagine his wife must have told him to, hey, you've got to call cops. Yeah. So that's essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get arrested for armed robbery, mm-hmm. spend some time in county jail before your sentence?
So it was about a good year and a half maybe until I was sentenced. Yeah.
And then you said you did 7.5 years, or what was the sentence?
Let's see, 7.5.
10 years?
With 85%, okay, so it was 85%, especially with a weapon at that time. So, 6, 7. I think I was off on that. So I think I did a full, like, six years, something like that.
So it was 7.5 years mm-hmm. was the sentence, mm-hmm. and then you did 6 years yeah. straight mm-hmm. for that in yes. California?
Yeah, in California. I started out, I was in Donovan, which okay. is in San Diego.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a bed somewhere up north somewhere, and finally when that opened up, I went up north to Susanville.
Okay.
Which is Northern California. And then from there migrated down to Tehachapi.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to, you know, hear that about your background mm-hmm. and, you know, seeing how successful you've been with your coffee shops. And I mean, looking at you, talking to you, that's not the impression that I think anybody would have. Right. And that's really the heart of what we're trying to discuss here,
right.
you know, is that, yeah, you might have had a past like that, but mm-hmm. that past doesn't have to define or dictate your future.
Oh, 100%. Because yeah. when I got out, you know, it was that moment where, well, not moment, it was a point to where many said it's going to be hard to get a job when you get out. And so that stuck with me. But I figured.
Who told you that?
It's just inmates.
Yeah.
In pretty much that it was that inmates. And so, you know, a lot of them were trying to start their own businesses, so it will probably make it much easier for them to get out, and they'll have their own business. They don't, mm-hmm. they don't have to go work for someone else.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any skills.
Sure.
I tried refrigeration.
HVAC?
HVAC, yes.
Okay.
And so when I got out, I figured, okay, I tried to go work for Roto-Rooter.
The plumbing company?
The plumbing company.
Okay.
And that was a no.
So you applied. Yeah, and I want to kind of flesh this out a mm-hmm. little bit because, you know, I think it's central to the story mm-hmm. is you get out and you're trying to get a job. You're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
It's not that you're just like sitting on your hands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some challenges mm-hmm. that are before a person, especially coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's the reality is that most times within the world, they judge you based on your past, right? Assuming
exactly.
that the person that you were in the past is the person that you'll always be. Now, we know that's not true.
Right.
Person can definitely be different, especially 100%. In Christ. It says that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become mm-hmm. new. So we know that that's not the case, but there's a lot of times where the world will judge you based on that. So if you could just kind of share like you were, you know, just like this progression, the different things that you had to go through, maybe the closed doors, you know, and just being persistent.
Yeah, so if you don't mind, I can go back into prison because that's where I really I found the Lord and my true walk and who Christ was in my life and feeling and knowing that it was a change.
Didn't know him before you went to prison.
You know what? I grew up in church. I grew up singing in a choir when I was young in Louisiana, but when we moved out here, all that was out the door.
Okay.
But I still believe now that I know that those moments did matter when I was way younger because there were little nuggets that was sent to me.
Seeds?
Yeah. And so while I didn't want to be one of those people that would get out and come back in because, you know, during my six years, I would see guys who had maybe had 2 years and they got out. Mm-hmm. And here I am still, you know, floating along with my time and I see them come back. Mm. I'm like, you love it in here, you know? So I did not want to do that. So anyway, getting out, that is what kept me focused. I had my favorite email address. I made it. It was called Press Towards Phil 314.
And that, say it again.
Press Towards, TOWARD,
uh-huh.
Phil, PHIL 314, which is Philippians 314,
okay.
Press Towards the Mark.
Okay.
So I that was my email address, and it kept me focused.
That was your motivation?
My motivation.
To keep pressing on.
Keep pressing on, and that was the deal. But while I was out trying to find a job, I could not find one. Roto-Rooter didn't work out. So I found some temp agencies, and they hired me, and then finally I got lucky to land a little janitorial job, which helped. And then once I started school, it was a fashion class, and then during that Christmas, they always do... they help out like Nordstrom's or Macy's. They'll take the students to go there and do the opening for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so I did that, got that job, and then things were going, you know, decent. I was able to make some money.
All right.
And
like a seasonal hire.
Seasonal
or something?
Hire, exactly. Yeah. And then finally, they once it was over, they asked if I wanted to stay. I was like, yes. And at that point, I had to fill the application out. And then I was scared because I knew I wanted to be honest on an application.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I just left it blank. I left it blank. And then time had passed by. And one day I was out with my manager. We were having lunch and we were just talking. And she had a conversation about her husband. And I heard AA and NA come out of her mouth. And so I just felt like it was bothering me. And I felt like I wanted to be honest with her. And so I was honest with her. And let her know that, you know, there was something on the application that I did not fill out.
Mm.
But I filled it out. I didn't fill it out. But, and I explained to her my lifestyle and what mm-hmm. was going on in the past and where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she's like, you're not doing anything now, are you? I was like, no, not at all. And she can see it.
Yeah.
And so from within that moment, she's like, don't worry about it. You're doing great now. And so from that moment, it was just a wash. And from that was my uphill.
You were worried about it and you had favor the whole time.
A whole time. Yes. And so from that moment on, you know, I had a job that I felt comfortable. I wasn't afraid anymore. And from there, I just went, you know, through school. I took photography as an elective and fell in love with that. And then at school is where I met my wife, which is Yasmin.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I ended up continuing doing the visual merchandising. And blessings came that way, which is amazing. But just... within, because I didn't go to school for visual merchandising. It cost so much money. So my boss...
What is visual merchandising?
Visual merchandising
like how
is...
how to present products will be attracted to them?
So that, yes, if you go in and whatever your style is, let's just say, I'll say Tommy Hilfiger, any of those departments, well, we would dress the mannequins to make you want to buy it. So that's visual merchandising.
Well, you definitely have the skills. I mean, I don't know if people that have been to your coffee shops mm-hmm. know, but you and your wife decorate them yourself.
Thank you.
And so you guys definitely have creative skills.
Oh, that's where we met. We met in that class.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll hang out in the car, listen to music, and, you know, for a while we're just friends, and then it just, everything just came together. Even though we are different, we're opposites,
uh-huh.
but we definitely come together, and, you know, those opposites work out for both of us. You know, she's learned a lot from me as
sure.
I from her, which
yeah,
is great.
That's yeah. how relationships
it
usually
should.
Are.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what happens next? You're working at the the retail store.
Retail store, and then slowly was loving photography.
Okay.
Black and white photography, you know, and then really, you know, again, going back to, as through school, there were moments where I think creative things like that were introduced to me, but I just thought I had to be a how can I say it? Live that gang thuggish life. And so anything that was like photography or anything that was cool,
that was still kind of hanging on in your thought life, you know, like can't do that, that'll be seen as weak or
so. But but when I took that photography class, it was so, it was just,
were you still on parole at this time?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yep, I was on parole. And so taking that class, it was so much fun developing my own black and white photos. So I got into photography and got some little gigs here and there. And then from that point on, the photography started growing. You know, I taught myself a lot. I was shooting mostly people, weddings, families.
Yeah.
And then, you know, long story short, my wife, she was an esthetician at the time. And so she did skin care. Esthetician is a person that does skin care.
Okay.
So can I say pimples, pop pimples? I mean,
facials and things like that.
Facials, all that. And yeah, I would go in on my break sometimes, and she would definitely give me a nice clean up.
Okay.
But but basically, it got to a point to where the photography was going so well, she figured, wow, why don't you leave your other job and let's just do photography? And so she was like she was in the back of the scenes doing all of the management and scheduling booking and keeping me on top. And then, long story short, from there, we just kept on going. We have a family now. I have a daughter and a son by then, Zion and Delaney.
Okay.
And so we decided to just let that fashion or the department store job go.
Okay.
And focus on photography.
Okay. So you started doing photography full-time?
Yes.
Full-time.
All right. And
so how did you get into coffee?
Oh, man. So coffee was... when we would do our consultations, I think I slowly got into coffee by just messing around at home with a popcorn popper and roasting my own coffee. I think I saw something on YouTube, okay?
You were roasting coffee beans in your popcorn maker. Popper.
Yes, so it's Jolly Pops.
Is this a life hack? Is this a life hack? Everyone's going to start roasting their own coffee?
No, you actually go online right now. You look it up. And, I mean, in some countries, they roast out of a cast iron. So all you need is heat, essentially heat. But it's nice to, when you see these roasters that I have here in both of my shops, we can control the heat and temperature and so forth. But you can still get away with it with a little popcorn popper.
Okay.
So that's what did it. And I had a photographer friend come over, and he tasted my coffee one day. And he's like, man, have you tasted this coffee before? And he brought me some. And it was from a coffee shop in San Diego called Bird Rock Coffee Roasters. And I tried that coffee, and it blew my mind. So at that point, I had to figure out, how can I get my coffee to taste like that?
Okay.
And so that's what started it. But we were just doing coffee for our clients. When they came in for the consultations, we would make them drinks. And the interesting thing is some of our reviews of photography would always say, not always, but at times, say the photos are great, but the coffee is excellent. And so they put a bug in our head. And so we at the time, we were in Escondido.
They liked the photography, but they liked the coffee more.
Coffee was good. Yeah. Yeah. So we were in Escondido, and we lived in a live work. So our studio was on the bottom, and we lived up top. Mm-hmm. And so we always thought, well, if photography doesn't work out, then maybe we'll just open up a coffee shop.
Okay.
So again, still little bugs. We keep speaking life into this coffee thing. And so fast forward, we end up moving out here to Temecula.
Okay.
Still doing photography.
Are you off parole at this point?
Okay, so parole had ended 3 years. Yes, I'm off parole at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Felt good.
Yeah.
no more meetings and, you know. So we end up in Temecula. Her parents live here. They're really close. Mm-hmm. And so one day through our church, there was a... We had a Bible study called Rooted. And within Rooted is just really just digging deep into scriptures, and then just everyone just talking about the scriptures that they read and what they've interpreted and just different topics. And I think it was a topic one day of, you know, I think my wife was in a group and they, I think it was asked, you know, what do you think your calling is? And I think she's like, yeah, my calling is hospitality. Mm. And so it went from there. And then I think she had thought about, maybe one day we thought about maybe thinking about opening a nonprofit business, maybe a coffee shop. And so again, coffee keeps coming up.
Okay.
And so coffee came up. And so within that, we sat down and we were talking about it. Let's go for it. And so we're thinking about doing a coffee cart. At the time, we were photographers, weddings, and in weddings, you have coffee carts. So we were just going to do a coffee cart for weddings. Probably have to hire someone out to do it, but first we'll buy everything and get it going. And then we were down in Old Town Temecula where our first shop is, and so all of a sudden, my previous worship leader was coming into town, and she wanted photos for her album cover. And so I took her to Old Town, took pictures, and I was teasing with my wife. I was like, hey, here's your coffee shop. And she ran with it. She, next thing you know, she's finding out, how much is the rent here, you know? And so from that point on, it was going to be a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year did you open your first coffee shop?
So we opened the first coffee shop in 2000 and, man, I think it's 15 or 16. I think it was 2015.
Okay.
And so
in Temecula.
In Temecula, Old Town Temecula.
All right.
So once, you know, once we pretty much got inspired to do it, we had some struggles with opening because the shop was a bookstore before. So we didn't realize. We thought we can just bring a coffee shop, I mean, bring a machine in there.
All the health code stuff.
Of course. And all the health
and plumbing and all that kind of stuff.
I was ready to step away from it. I got a lot of gray hair at the time. It was stressful because we were still doing photography at the time, too. So balancing both. And so we lost a lot of money because we didn't realize that you have to go through health. But the landlord wasn't, and that's his business, and I understand. But we still had to pay rent even though we weren't open.
Oh, yeah.
So that hurt us. But thank God we almost sold it, and we were going to sell it or sublease it to a couple. And they came in and asked, why are you selling it? What is it going to be? And we told them a coffee shop. And they were like, this is what we want in this community. We're just looking to open a space up to shine light into this area and maybe have a coffee shop. And so therefore, they started praying for us. And the next day, city, health, all those things that honestly, I can't tell this story. This is real, man. And everything just lined up. And so from that moment on.
So instead of them buying the coffee shop from you guys, they decided to come alongside you.
No, they just prayed for
pray
us.
Pray for you.
That's it. Yeah.
And doors started opening.
Doors started opening. Yeah.
Wow.
And so from that moment on, I think it was 15 or 16. But yeah, so we opened up in 2016.
Okay, yeah. And now 2016, it's 2025. You have five coffee shops, right? Yeah. You had six until recently, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. you got five coffee shops, all kind of the same kind of feel, you know? I mean, maybe not all the same decor, but all that same kind of boutique-y, vintage, cigar lounge type feel. They're really cool. That's, you know, I mean, that's quite a progression, right? Just to have one is one thing.
Yes.
To have five, like, that's a whole nother level, you know, and, I think it's interesting also the name, the Press Espresso, and I see like your hats and your merchandise says mm-hmm. Pressing On.
Mm-hmm.
Is that any way connected to your email from before?
Or? Yes. Yes. We were trying to figure out what to name the shop and, There was a company in Santa Barbara called The French Press. So we're thinking maybe we shouldn't do it. But after a while, you know, we just figured press. We just stuck with press. And then so we had to figure out, okay, how can we use it without it being an issue? So we went into, we're thinking of, because press means to, in Italian, to
apply pressure?
Apply pressure, yeah. Or an espresso. Yeah. Is applying pressure on the coffee. Okay, so my email address was presstoursfield314. And then it's like, you know what? Let's go with this. So let's just go with the press. And then we threw espresso in there. coffee roasters.
And okay.
That's how it landed. I mean, it means to press towards the mark of a higher calling. And okay. That's what I've been doing.
Philippians
3:14.
Philippians 3:14. Yep.
And so if you were to go into the Old Town shop right now, you'll see it rustically written on some books that we painted white. And we just painted the verse there.
Well, I think it's an apt name when we are considering your story, mm-hmm. right? And the adversity and, you know, the choices that you made as a young man and the consequences that you suffered. And then, you know, where you are today, that doesn't happen without pressing on.
100%.
Right? And, you know, that's really what I wanted to highlight today in talking to you is the fact that there's going to be any number of people that have made choices in their past, whether it's through addiction, whether it's through crime, these things like this, maybe even being homeless, mm-hmm. Addicted to fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Finding themselves in jail or in prison and thinking that that's the end of their life, right? That all the dreams that they might have had right. and all their hopes of a better life are gone now because of those decisions. It's just not the case.
Right.
You know, and we're seeing that with your life. It's not without its challenges.
100%.
Right? It wasn't without its difficulties. It's not without, you know, running up against opposition, but not giving up mm-hmm. as well. And as you said, pressing on, mm-hmm. pressing on and keep going to, you know, whatever that goal is.
Like I said, what got me in trouble was music that the negative words led me mm-hmm. astray. But coming out, the music that I listened to there's a gentleman named Fred Hammond, and he had a song called Press. And I would just
Fred Hammond's gospel singer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, gospel singer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, when I heard that, I was like, this is a message for me. And mm. it built me up and it kept me going. But it was a struggle, though. It was really hard, but I didn't want to give up
at all. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, I don't think people realize how powerful not only music, but also movies and things mm-hmm. that we watch. You know, your ears and your eyes are a window mm-hmm. into the soul, and they certainly affect you know, the decisions that we make, the thought process.
Yes.
And so putting good things, edifying things
yes.
is very important, and not putting stuff that's mm-hmm. going to take us in the wrong direction. Well, what advice would you give to people? You know, there's going to be people that are either listening to this podcast and maybe have gone through those things. Maybe they're going through them right now, or maybe it's even family members that have people that are going through things. What advice would you give to people that have made some poor choices in the past and are maybe currently suffering the consequences to not give up, right? And not think that that's the end, not let those past decisions, no matter what the world says, mm-hmm. no matter what other people try and say about that, not letting that define who you are for your future. So do you have any advice for people that might be going through those types of things?
Yeah. As simple as it sounds, is don't give up until you just obviously can't go anymore. Mm-hmm. You may feel like it's going to happen, and there will be some struggles within that where you feel like you want to give it up, but don't give it up because there is so much out there. You never know until you tap in to... You may be skillful at taking pictures. You may be skillful at something, but just go out there mm-hmm. and dig and just find out what that thing is that you're good at. Just set some goals.
Your family pretty proud of you now?
Yeah. You know, I hear it out of my mom, and I think she's, you know, I gave her a run for the money, you know, single mom. But we sit and laugh about it and talk about it, you know.
She's still in Louisiana?
No, she's actually in Menifee. So Menifee is not far from here.
Good. Yeah, I think, you know, if we don't want to repeat the things of the past, we have to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You gotta learn from the past and, you know, plan for the future.
Yes.
But we want to live in the now. Right? And that's all we can do is take care of today and be focused on what's going on today and pressing on like your coffee shop say, right? Yeah. keep moving in the right direction.
100%.
Yeah. Are people usually shocked? Do you share your story much with people?
I love finding those moments. Like, even with my barista, my team, you know, if I have them, maybe if I come in to help them close or we just have a moment, mm-hmm. and sometimes some things will present themselves, and I just want them to know, because I know they're young and they're trying to figure their lives out. You know, a lot of the team members that work here are either gonna graduate soon, mm-hmm. you know, or some of them have, or trying to figure it out. And sometimes I feel like I want them to know that I didn't have this silver spoon, like where my family owned coffee shops and I'm just taking it over. No, I need you to know where I came from, and this is where I am now. And so sometimes I'll ask them, what are you going to school for? I don't know. That's okay. That's fine. I didn't know either. I didn't know that I was going to do coffee, but I went to school for fashion, ended up doing photography, and then from that point on, here I am into coffee.
Are they surprised?
Oh, yeah.
When they hear your story? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure most people don't think prison, gang mm-hmm. life.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool that you're pouring into their lives as well, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really what life is about, right? Relationships and
yes.
and people, and so... Coffee is a great way to have conversation.
Uh-huh,
and
yes.
So I love what you're doing. Press Espresso. So you have, you guys have this location, which is Old Town Murrieta.
Yes.
You have Old Town Temecula.
Old Town Temecula.
Right. Then you have another one in Murrieta, which is over there by the mall, right?
Trader Joe's. In the Trader yeah. Joe's Shopping Center, there's one there.
Okay.
And then...
Inez.
Yep, in Inez.
Past the car dealerships right
yep,
there.
Yep, right there Inez. In the Armstrong Shopping Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one, we're actually in the oldest standing building in Temecula, which is off...
Vail Ranch.
Vail Ranch, yes.
Oldest standing building in Temecula.
And so that location we roast. You will see a larger roaster there.
I have seen that in the back, the big roaster.
Mm-hmm. And the one here, I roast small batch. So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, any other advice for the listeners?
Essentially, whether or not you have a family or not, we're all put on this earth for something, and you are special. Mm. You know, you are somebody that could probably... help another person, so why not, you know, get yourself built up and just know whatever your situation was in the past, whatever trouble that you got into, you can make it out of it. And it's gonna feel like you can't, but you can. And you just gotta, I'm throwing that word out there again, you just gotta press. That's the best word I can say, because it keeps you going. So it's endless of what you can do. Don't let no one tell you no.
That's right. Yeah. I believe that, you know. Yeah. Experienced that in my own life as well, and that seems pretty consistent. Well, we're grateful that you opened it up, because we love the coffee.
Thank
right?
you.
And, you know, hoping and praying for all the success that... you've had and continue to have, and with your family, you said you have how many children?
I have three with my wife.
Okay.
And then I do have an older son. His name is Markel. That was before I went into prison.
Okay.
I had a son.
Okay.
So yeah. So
good.
A total of four.
Good.
And a dog. And a dog's
a dad and a dog and a family life
all that,
and
yes.
man.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome what can happen in a life, you know, even with a past that includes prison.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to stay there.
Mm-mm.
Well, Deshaun, we're grateful that you spent this time with us and letting us set up inside your coffee shop and
sure.
do this. It's nice to do
sure.
it in different locations. I know it can be a little bit of an inconvenience in mm-hmm. the coffee shop, but mm-hmm. we're grateful that we were able to do this, and looking for lots of success for you and your family.
Thank you, 100%, and yours as well.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being a part of this much-needed conversation as we expose the raw truths about addiction. Don't forget to like, follow, and most importantly, share. Remember, addiction is the dirty little secret that every family deals with, but nobody wants to talk about.